everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kelly O Show. On today's show, we've got a two-part episode, and this is a legacy Fitfluential radio interview, one that we thought was live previously, but kind of got lost in the shuffle when we changed production companies. This is an interview I did with Evan DeMarco. It is a two-part episode, like I said before, and we're talking about brain health. And before you tune this out, if you think this isn't for you, I can guarantee you it is. It is for all of us. I learned a lot while I was talking to him. This guy is brilliant, but incredibly down to earth. So I'm going to leave the original introduction on here. There are several references, again, to Fitfluential Radio. This was recorded prior to us rebranding this show. But sit back and enjoy. This does go slightly over an hour. It's about an hour and 6 minutes. But again, we have divided this up into a two-part episode. So please sit back and enjoy this brain health discussion with Evan DeMarco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, we have Evan DeMarco, and I'm so thrilled for you all to listen to this. It's actually a two-part episode because I know this will surprise you. We ended up having a longer conversation than I thought. I know you guys know I'm usually very well known for brevity. Not. But this is a jam-packed, really, and actually quite a fun interview. As ridiculously intelligent as this man is, he's also incredibly down to earth and very easy to understand. And we're talking about brain health. So there you go. You know that this is not something that any of us can just start talking about, right? This is something probably most of us, and I started off the interview that way, you know, saying, okay, so what does brain health mean? And Evan actually has a new book out called 30 Days to Better Brain Health. I hope I'm saying that correctly. We will link that up in the show notes, of course. Just to give you a little bit before, you know, I tell you a little bit more about what occurs in this interview from his official bio. Evan DeMarco is a sports medicine and nutrition expert, a published author, public speaker, and frequent guest on television, radio, and digital platforms. He is a successful entrepreneur whose interest in diet, health, and supplements began as an athlete and consumer determined to improve an industry that was going through a massive transformation. Leveraging his sports background, his entrepreneurial success, and his thirst for knowledge, Evan returned to school to bio and organic chemistry and went on to develop a vastly improved formula for prenatal supplements discovered in the liquid form. We do talk about that in this interview. His desire when he realized he was going to be a father, that's what really fueled this whole, you know, the development of the prenatal supplements. From there, he worked to develop a supplement that would enhance the brain building properties of his original formula. And that supplement is Alpha Plus Omega Cognitive Boost. This is the product that he's developed. But again, what's interesting, and this is what I love, is he's got products out there, but this whole interview is really about education. And he's very passionate about getting people to understand, you know, I hate to use the phrase dumbing it down, but sometimes that's the best way to articulate what I'm talking about. These are some pretty intense concepts, brain health, right? And understanding why it's important and what that means. And there's a way of dumbing it down so you don't feel dumb receiving it, but you're going to be able to understand it. Okay, I'm not going to go into, I'm looking at the rest of this information. What I do want to mention here is Evan works directly with many of the top research scientists and doctors in the United States to build functional medicine platforms that combine the use of high-quality supplements with strategic and holistic approaches to treating illness and disease. He has brought dozens of products to market, resulting in nearly $280 million in retail sales globally. So again, this was a really good and really fun interview. A lot of sass going on both sides. I really enjoy that. And I do feel, as I mentioned in this interview, I feel like I just became best friends with this guy before we always huddle before we start recording the show. And he's just very down to earth, very knowledgeable. And I really, really like him. And I really can't wait to have him back on the show because I think I certainly learned a lot. And I know we all can learn more from him in the near future. So for right now, sit back, get your brain ready to soak up a lot of information about brain health and enjoy this two-part episode with Evan DeMarco. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on this show, I'm very happy to welcome Evan DeMarco. The reason I say I'm very happy is I'm just going to say this, Evan. I just met you. We were just talking for the first time before we started recording. I really feel like I'm just going to call you a bestie. I feel like I really, you're a cool guy. I cannot wait to interview you. I feel like you're just a cool cat. I just got to put that out there. I feel like we're besties already just from bonding for 10, 15 minutes before the show. And I'm really excited to dive into this interview. But that said, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, bestie.
We really are. I've determined that. I hope that you're okay with that label, but we are besties from now on.
Absolutely.
Evan and Kelly are BFFs. Evan, we talked about this too before the show. Whenever I have somebody on, we are going to be talking about brain health today. And I'm excited because I'm constantly sharing how frazzled my brain feels. And I'm also constantly dealing with issues like incredible brain fog, lack of short-term memory. And I'm sure you're going to have some input on that. And I'm excited to dive into the topic because something we've never really covered in depth on the show yet. And I know a lot of listeners are going to come away with a lot of information and wanting to get this book, of course. But whenever I have somebody on the show for the first time, I always love to ask them what's their, you know, what was it that got them, you know, what was it that got you where you were writing this book on brain health? When was it for you, Evan, that you became interested in leading a fit and healthy lifestyle? When was that for you and why?
You know, that's a great question. And I think, honestly, it's just something that's part of my DNA. And I look back, you know, throughout my entire life of just, you know, always being outside, always playing. You know, I look at kids now, right? And they're always jacked into their video games and on their phones. We didn't have that when I was growing up. You came home from school and your parents like, "We'll call you when dinner's ready. Go outside and play and run and be kids." And I was always around my friends. It was always sports. And you know, every weekend it was tournaments and playing sports you know, being active. And then when I got to high school, I remember taking my first health class. And this was a high school health class. It was the most, you know, our basic, you know, health information possible. And it turns out a lot of that information was completely inaccurate, but that's, you know, that's a conversation for another time. And I remember the final, and I did the final in like 4 minutes. And I'm like, this is cool. I like this. I like this feeling of having this knowledge and thirsting for this knowledge and then being able to turn around and give that knowledge to someone else and say, okay, you've got a health and wellness journey. Let's work on that together. Let's figure out what you want to be. What's the trajectory of your life? And let's see if we can do that together. And I think that's always been a part of my DNA. It's just, you know, those who have this vision, this passion, this yearning to help people experience the most of their existence are the ones that typically end up in this industry. And it's like, you know, how do we take all of the science, all of the passion that we have, and get people to that next level of their existence?
I'm just giving you an amen over here from Austin, Texas, all the way to Sacramento, California, because amen, first of all, in a funny way to what you said early on about growing up. So I have to believe that you're somewhere in the generation I grew up in where, you know, I always joke about it. I'm like, when I came home from school, my mom was like, "Get out of the house, go play." It was always go outside, and nobody, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have pagers. Our parents couldn't geographically pinpoint where we were or what we were doing at any time. And I didn't get into drugs and alcohol and any kind of crazy trouble. I just went out and played, and we ran and we chased each other. And what was it? Red Rover and kickball and the thing, hide the flag, capture the flag. Times are so different now. And I have to say, observationally, it does kind of break my heart when I go out and I see families at dinner, you know, like at a restaurant, and it's four kids all with cell phones, and they're craning their neck over and hunched over, and no one's talking to each other. And you see that everywhere. And It's like, parents, can you like talk to your kids? Do you ever tell your kids to go out and play? Do they ever do anything other than looking at a tablet? It's generationally so sad. And of course, we're seeing the effects of that on health as well. I'm sure that you might be bringing that up a little bit later when we talk about, you know, brain health from an attention and a social perspective with kids growing up. But then back to as well what you said, and I firmly agree. I think you're like the walking definition of fitfluential, which is people that have turned their lives around or have always had a passion for this and are fascinated by the science and the information do want to really help other people. And when you and I were talking before we started recording, remember I said like, I can't wait to educate our community on so much of this bigger picture stuff, brain health, how having them understand how all of these things are interconnected, and that getting fit and getting healthy isn't just what your weight is or what your pant size is or how many calories and how long should I be on the treadmill. Like, there's a bigger picture, and it's really about life. And so I just, again, fist pump to everything you just said. I am absolutely with you. But that said, let's dive in to the topic today, because I'm excited to learn from you. I'm going to be learning from you on the show, and happy to have you give me any commentary on my brain that you can pick up. You might want to just say, Kelly, after the show, you should go take a nap, have a Bloody Mary later, and just stop talking for a whole week. That might be what you tell me is best for my brain health, but I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be what's best for your brain health. And in fact, I don't know if you could actually shut your brain off in the short amount of time been BFFs. I don't know if you could shut your brain off for a week. It would probably drive you nuts.
Very true. In fact, my man friend and I were talking about work, and you know, we actually are going through discussions with a couple of companies on potentially, you know, acquiring all our parts of our business. And, you know, some people, they hear that and they're like, oh, great, you're going to cash out. And I'm like, that's not even to me, that's never even been a thought. And he works in the legal profession. And, you know, he said, here's the deal. You know, it's funny that from my parents' generation, there used to be that thing where they said, you retire at age 55. I'm 49. I feel like I'm just getting started. And he's 10 years older than me. And he's like, I love what I do. I have no intention of stopping. And I don't want to. And I'm sure you probably have some input too. I've read that from a brain health perspective, I hope I'm saying that correctly, it's actually better for us to not retire and just stop using our brain in whatever way. And that the research is supporting that people that have done that historically, both from a physical perspective, they kind of just stop and they start playing golf and laying around all day and they stop using their brain. That's when, you know, some of the really bad diseases kind of settle in. Is that accurate? I didn't intend to ask that question, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think it's definitely accurate, right? I mean, our brain, for all intents and purposes, is a muscle. So like any muscle, if you're not using it, it's going to atrophy. Now, a lot of times what happens too, and you can kind of look at this holistically, and we can take a step back and say, like, you know, the more we use our brain, the more physically active we are, the more mentally active we are, the more that brain, that muscle really, you know, is used, and subsequently the better, the more healthy it is. But yeah, it's like you see these people that retire and they play golf twice a week. The rest of the time they're sitting on their couch. They're not doing anything. They lose the social interaction of just being in a workplace. And that alone has such a profound impact on our brain health. So retirement by and large really needs to be kind of re-looked at, is how do people retire and do it in a healthy way? And interestingly enough, with the number of baby boomers that are set to retire with this aging population, we're going to have a major pandemic or epidemic on our hands with, you know, with these people that just say, okay, I'm done working. Now what? The number of incidences of Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, cardiovascular disease, all of these things are going to see an exponential growth in the next 10 to 15 years as people basically stop utilizing their brain, stop utilizing the workforce as a catalyst to brain health, or in health in general. So it's going to be an interesting time. And I think, you know, we are at the forefront of looking at some of those issues and what can we do now to systemically stop that or to reverse some of the problems that I think we're going to start to see pretty profoundly in the next couple of years.
God, no kidding. And that's a perfect segue for us to start talking about the primary topic today, because when I hear you say early in the conversation, brain health, and when I looked at the notes I got, you know, scheduling you, we said, what are we talking about today? And the little notes I had in my calendar here, brain health and the athlete, natural ways to improve high performance activities through better brain function. So my question to you is, this is both me asking this, keeping it real, and I know I'm asking this for our audience as well. When I hear brain health, I'm like, okay, I get it. And I know that one of the supplements that I've been told to take by my doctor, has to do with the brain, I believe, like L-theanine and GABA, but I don't really know what brain health means. And yet I conceptually probably do, but define that for the audience before we start talking specifically about the book. What is brain health, the way that you describe it?
You know, that is a fantastic question, Kelly. So, you know, let me give you a little bit of background so we can kind of put this into context. Is the way that I got started on brain health was actually working on prenatal vitamins. And I was developing prenatal vitamins, and I was really doing it kind of dispassionately, right? I'm like, oh, it's just another vitamin. I'm developing it. It's fun. But, you know, I didn't really have any skin in the game. It wasn't a passion project of mine until I found out I was going to be a father. Hmm. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, okay, prenatal vitamins suck. I mean, like, these are the same prenatal vitamins that my mom was taking. And, like, there has been zero innovation in this market for 30, 40 years. Wow. And I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that I give my kid every opportunity. I know what supplements can do. I know what proper supplementation can do. I know that if we take all of the science, all of the research, everything that's come out of the last 50 years in this industry, and we apply that to a specific supplemental segment, prenatal vitamin, we can really do something impactful. So then I started really studying brain health, right? And what does brain health look like in prenatal, in postpartum, as we get older? And what I found was DHA and alpha GPC. Those are the two big things that really stood out to me. It was like, hey, we need to really be looking at these polyunsaturated fatty acids and choline when we really bake it down to its constituent parts. And I found this really fascinating article from the European Food Safety Agency on what the predominant sources of choline in breast milk were, and it was this alpha GPC. So then we're looking at brain development in the first couple of years of life and how that brain really exponentially grows, how all the neurons are growing, how we get all of these synaptic firings that are taking place. So, you know, you have this the biggest brain growth and biggest brain development in our life taking place at this time when we're getting this GPC and this DHA. And then our diet kind of just eliminates those. Then we go into normal food and we start to eliminate those. And so there's kind of this entropy that takes place in our brain, and we don't really see that until sometimes, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And then we start to see these brain fog moments, right? These memory slips, the where are my keys? Where's my cell phone? Where's my husband?
Where are my glasses?
Where are my glasses? I remember there was a time like 6 months ago, I'm literally on the phone walking around my house having a conversation, and I finally stopped the conversation. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, I got to call you back. I got to find my phone before I leave. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm on the phone. You know, and it's like, and it's amazing how our life, the pace of life, the way that we live now has created this environment where now we're starting to see some of these memory slips earlier on, late 20s, early 30s, where as before that might have been 40s, 50s, 60s. And then we kind of just pass those off as senioritis, I'm getting old, memory fog. Well, that's all systemic of brain health and the pace of life that we're living in, this, you know, kind of the lifestyle that we've created. So now we can look at those and say, okay, well, what's fundamentally wrong? How do we address that with not just supplementation, but diet, lifestyle, all of those things, and create an environment where our brains can continue to thrive and be healthy? One of the concerns that I have is really when we look at that screen time, when we look at stress, when we look at all of the components that have a negative impact on our brain, we might be fundamentally creating better bodies for life, but what are we doing to our brains? Which means, you know, hey, we're going to be in great shape when we're 80, but we're not going to remember who we are, let alone who any of our friends are, or where we put our keys. You know, so the incidences of Alzheimer's and dementia, I think, are going to be kind of in contrast or basically at odds with what we're doing to keep our bodies healthy later on. And so what we really need to be looking at is this 360 degree holistic approach to health and wellness, and that's body and brain.
God, I took so many notes, and that there's so many things that you said. And one of the questions that I want to ask is specifically about supplementation. But I love that you brought up stress, because I had that as a question to ask you, in that when we're talking about brain health, I certainly know that one of my primary focuses is stress reduction, because I have seen in my own life and in my own health how when I don't manage stress, and I do believe there's like good stress and bad stress. There's good stress like you and I talked about. I'm stressed right now. My assistant's going on vacation. I'm hiring new people. Those are good stress problems, but you're still kind of anxious and fired up and crazed about it. Then there's bad stress, losing a job, financial problems, divorce, all of that. There's, you know, sad stress. So there's stress. And if I don't manage my stress, I get physical symptoms. I get crazy upper abdominal, like stomach grinding. I'm dealing, and I get headaches, I get migraines, and it's directly tied to stress. But when I think about the migraine part of it, one of my questions is brain health affected? This might sound silly, but by stress, is that a big factor? So when you said stress and screen time, I think that's awesome that we can talk about what are some of those steps. And then when you said we all need to be taking a bigger picture, 360 degree approach to our health. And that is, to me, what I've had to learn the hard way, that getting healthy is not, again, just your weight on the scale. And it's not about, oh, if I'm not reaching my weight loss goals, I just need to cut more calories and work out more. You got to look at all of the things in your life. How are you living? What's stressing you out? How much sleep are you getting? What are your relationships like? What's your job like? How much time are you spending in front of the computer? Are you going to bed and falling asleep with the TV on, reading work email? All of those things have an effect. Is that when you have people come to you with problems, do you find that they are completely clueless that that actually has an effect, that that's part of the things they should be considering when they're considering their health is lifestyle?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we kind of talk about this in the book, but you know, kind of the cursory glance at this is what I like to call the four pillars of health and wellness, right? It's diet, supplementation, exercise, and social / spiritual. And what we find is people really kind of get pigeonholed or bucketed into only one or two of those concepts. It's like, oh, I work out and I eat healthy, but then I'm hyper stressed out. You know, I don't supplement well, or I don't really have great social connections or things like that. And so it's all about balance, right? And I kind of use this analogy in this four pillars. If you've got a table, you know, that has four legs, if you're not really focusing on each one of those legs, your table is going to become unbalanced. And that unbalancing, which can start off really small, eventually can start to get really big. And, you know, if you think about it in the sense of you're serving your food on your table and you're that unbalanced, well, your soup's eventually going to end up in your lap. So you have to have this really, you know, profound look at your health and wellness and in all of those buckets, and make sure that you're addressing all of those areas. And as you said, it's not just calories in, calories out. Can I go get on a treadmill? I mean, I know plenty of people who look fantastic on the outside, inside are a complete mess. You know, and how many times do we hear those stories of like, oh my God, there was the healthiest person that I thought he was the healthiest person, and then he dropped dead of a heart attack at 55. Yeah. You know, all of these physical manifestations, you talk about headaches, you know, abdominal pain, some of those things, those are all systemic, you know, of these lifestyles. And whether it's environmental toxicity, stress, anxiety, all of these things are going to find a way to tell your body, hey, something's wrong. You got to deal with this. Figure out what's going on and make the small corrections to have that big impact in your life, not just tomorrow, but a week, a year, a decade down the road.
God, so brilliant. And it's funny, I was using the table example in a work perspective with some of my new team members the other day. And I think it's such a simple way for in many ways to explain something. Like, you've got to have stability. One of those legs comes off and what's that table going to do? Because anybody can picture that. And I think what I'd like to do is ask you a few questions on each of those four pillars, on areas within those that can start to make an impact on your brain health, which of course is connected to everything. But before I do that, you know, the first one you mentioned supplement, diet, exercise, and then social/spiritual. With supplementation, I feel like, and I don't want to say I feel like, I know that a lot of our audience listening, they get very skeptical about anything to do with supplements. They're very confused about supplements. I think that the first time I ever heard about supplements was way back in the day when I read the first muscle building book, Bill Phillips, Body for Life. And I remember, you know, that was what got me started. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to whatever store. I'd never been into a GNC or a vitamin shop or a supplement store. And so all of a sudden I was hearing about L-carnitine and other things. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I remember finding, it was in Chicago, some store, and it was a supplement store. And I literally, you'd think I was going to buy porn. I was so like, is somebody seeing me? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to ask a question. I don't want to look stupid. Do I weigh too much to walk in here? It was so intimidating. And I went in, I bought the stuff. I learned about like why flax oil is refrigerated, but it's very intimidating. And at the same time, I know a lot of people have had what they think is a bad experience with vitamins or supplements. That's the way they'll put it. Because they go and they're like, well, I read an article on fish oil. And they might say, I've heard fish oil is good for the brain. I heard it's good for memory. I heard this or that. I went to the store. I bought some melatonin. It's not helping me sleep better. I bought this. It's not helping me. Well, how long did you take it? 3 days. And so, you know, people think that supplements are a magic pill, as opposed to the very definition of supplement is to supplement what you're doing. But a lot of people think it's supposed to be this overwhelming, take this pill and immediately you're going to have fat loss, or immediately your memory is going to change. How do you address that with people that come to you? And do you get a lot of that where people are like, I've taken that stuff before, it doesn't work. And they think it's snake oil.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that really is the one of the biggest questions that I deal with. And to your point, that is a great question, right? What defines a good supplement? And as you said, supplement is supposed to be a supplement originally to diet. It was like, okay, I can't get everything that I need from my diet. I need to supplement with something. Now, the problem is that, you know, when supplements first hit the market decades ago, we had a healthier diet. We had an omega-6 to omega-3 ratio that was more in line with what it should be. Now the modern Western diet has spiraled that to like 25 to 1, which means we are so pro-inflammatory. So people go into a supplement store, you know, they see something online, their mailman gives them a recommendation. They go to vitamin shop and the minimum wage employee says, oh, this is what I take. You should take this. So the problem with supplements is we're oftentimes taking the wrong things for all of the wrong reasons. So how do you address that? The first way to do that is, you know, look at your cabinet. What are you getting? You know, if you're buying the commoditized, you know, let's say fish oil, that's a perfect example. If you're going to Costco and you're getting fish oil, like a 12-year supply of it for $4, chances are it's not good. You know, we have to look at the quality of the supplements, but then most importantly, we have to look at why we're taking them. And the best way to do that, and I always tell people, is, you know, your medical doctor is going to say, okay, you know, whatever, take whatever you want, unless you're really dealing with some issues, you know, let's just don't bother me. So oftentimes is great to find a good naturopathic doctor or an integrative therapeutic doctor who's going to look at your blood work, who's going to look at some serious diagnostic tests and say, here's what I recommend and this is why. Because really what it boils down to, and I always like to kind of take the journalistic approach to supplements, it's the who, what, where, when, why, and how. The most important question in all of that to answer is, why are you taking it? Americans are like, we're the laughing stock of the supplement industry. Most countries just look at us and say, we have really expensive pee because we're taking so many supplements, most of the time don't do anything. And that is kind of the best case scenario, right? The best case scenario is you take a supplement, it has no real tangible benefit to your health and wellness journey, and you just pee it out. The worst case scenario is that you take something that possibly could be detrimental to you because you're not taking it for the appropriate reasons. So when we really look at supplementation, it has to be in the bigger context of why are you taking it? What should you be, you know, what is the reason for that? And is it addressing an underlying need that's, you know, that your food, your diet, your exercise, the rest of those pillars can't accommodate? And that's why I love fish oil, right? But it has to be the right kind of fish oil. Because by and large, and I think the WHO and the FDA say that about 80% of Americans are deficient in polyunsaturated fatty acids, things that are going to really focus on inflammation resolution, environmental toxicity, brain health, cardiovascular health, a lot of the things that we just can't get through our typical diet now.
Okay. You answered that really well. And you did. And it's funny because I was having this conversation with my dad. I hope my dad doesn't listen to this podcast because he'll be like, Kelly, why are you talking about me on your show? But I'm going to use him as an example anyway. You know, I was talking to him about fish oil and he said, oh, that upsets my stomach. And I'm like, it shouldn't upset your stomach. And I said, you know, I think back to the Body for Life days. I went and I bought fish oil and I had the fish burp problem where I was like, oh my God, I feel like I literally have fish crawling up my intestinal wall, out my throat. I don't know what I did, but I must have bought some really bad fish oil tablets. But ever since then, whether it's a client of ours is Now Foods, I know I've had some fish oil through them. I've ordered, Carlson, I think the cod liver oil tablets. I've never had that problem again. But I think there, to your point, there is a quality issue, and I do think that's a big issue that a lot of consumers are facing. Is they have the best of intentions, but there's not a lot of guidance. And I know that's from a regulatory perspective. There's not a lot of guidance in. Like, how does your average Joe know how to find a good quality fish oil? How do they know how to pick a good digestive enzyme or a probiotic? Some of those basics. Do you have any tips on that you give clients or people that are listening? Like, hey, to get started, here's some general tips. Or are you not allowed to say that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of tips, and unfortunately, the biggest tip that I can recommend is price. Okay. If it's cheap. If it's cheap, it's cheap. If you're looking at a shelf at Vitamin Shoppe and you've got one fish oil that's, $30 and one that's $8, well, why is that product $8? You have to think from the standpoint of, well, why is it that much cheaper? And the chances are it's cheap for a reason. Real quick deep dive into fish oil is that most fish oil is caught off of the coast of like Chile and Peru, anchovies and sardines, and they're taken to a fish factory and they're literally pressed. So you have this oil and you have this fish meal, the fish guts, and all that's sent off to like fertilizer factories and pet food factories. Well, that oil is called 18-12 or crude oil, and that 18-12 is representative of the EPA and DHA concentration, 18% EPA, 12% DHA, or 30% omegas, the remaining 70% being pro-inflammatory omega-6, saturated fat, cholesterol, all of the bad fats, right? Mm. Well, it costs money to concentrate that up, to get rid of those bad fats. So, if you're paying more money for a fish oil, there's a good chance that you're getting something that's been concentrated up, it's been purified, it's been done so with proper technology that doesn't use harsh chemicals or solvents. If your fish oil is cheap, well, chances are it's going to be that 18-12 or crude oil. And there's not that there's anything inherently wrong with that. But if your diet is already so pro-inflammatory, right, omega-6, well, you're just exacerbating, an already bad diet. Whether it's digestive enzymes, whether it's probiotics, whether it's, fish oil, whether it's anything, price is usually going to be a determining factor. Now, the other thing that I think is really a determining factor is looking at the company that's manufacturing it, right? The who. If it's a reputable company, it's been around for, a long time, they've got a history in the market, there's a good chance that they're looking at quality over, commodity. If you're product on the shelf is three guys named Vinny Supplements, well, there's a good chance that those might not be the best things that you know, that you want to be putting in your body. So start with reputable companies, start with price, and utilize that as a guidepost for the companies that you want to work with. And then, of course, go back to the why. Why are you taking that particular product? And if you have those two guideposts in mind, there's a good chance that you're going to be looking at things that are going to be inherently beneficial for your health and wellness journey.
It's funny that you brought up the Vinny thing, because I was thinking that I would say, yeah, if you go to a website and they're leading with getswollenjacked.com or whatever, you know, probably a good idea. You might be starting in the wrong place. And if things are misspelled on the website, I've seen that too. We've had some of those clients go, we'd love to work with you. We'd love to partner together. I'm like, just next. But when you use price, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because there are some people that get it and will say, this is my health. I've just had a bad visit with the doctor. Sadly, you know, some people don't take their health seriously until they have that visit with the doctor. And then they're like, well, shit, I've got to really take this. I've got to start looking at my health. And oh my God, what do I do? And then they're panicked. And then those are the ones I see going on Facebook going, oh my God, my doctor told me I have to lower my cholesterol, lose 50 pounds in this. What should I do? And then you see people going, SlimFast worked for me. And I just, oh my God. But there are some people that'll say, this is my health. I understand this should be an investment, and they'll get that. What does, I don't want to use sadden, but I guess I'm somebody that when I finally got to the point where I hit the wall with my health and after age, I think it was after age 40, my hormones really started, you know, it's like my body just hit the brakes. And I saw it first. I started to have a skin condition, my body temperature changed. And then of course I gained weight and I couldn't lose it. Headaches, all of those things. And it wasn't until I got blood work and saw, when we looked underneath the hood, how much was wrong with me, that I'm like, oh my God. Now for me, that was a relief in a weird way, to find out how much was really wrong with me, from hypothyroidism to insulin resistance to zero testosterone, progesterone, estrogen issues. I mean, you name it. I went through the hormonal imbalance drive-through and I'll ask to take one of everything. And then I ordered the Happy Meal, you know, that like, let's. So I got used to very quickly that I'm going to need to see a different kind of doctor. Most of this stuff is not going to be covered by insurance. And I'm used to paying what I'm paying to get treated. I'm used to paying $300 for this per month or this. And I'm used to it, you know, not being cheap. But on the other hand, I got the concept that as I spent more money on my body and on my health in those areas and in things like self-care, like a massage every week, where some people go, oh, I wish I could get a massage every week. If you look at this big picture, like you said, holistically, and you're investing in yourself, guess what you'll stop paying money for? Doctor's visits, antibiotics, stomach, over-the-counter, you know, buying Excedrin by the pound, Prilosec, all of the, you know, stomach, the antacids, the things that people keep at their office desk because they're working late and they're like, I've got to have Red Bull, I've got to keep myself awake, and then I've got to get myself to sleep and I can't do it naturally.
You have reached the end of part one of this two-part episode with Evan DeMarco. Make sure you tune into part two.